Okay, good afternoon, everyone. First, I would like to thank Isabella and myself for the opportunity to give this presentation. Today, I'm going to talk about fatherlands of Cantor typeset as a joint work with my supervisor, Isabella Lazo. And first, my presentation consists of two parts. The first part is the introduction to the problem, and the second part is just a rough idea of our results. So first, let's see the definition for fatherlands. So suppose E is a subset in two-dimensional space. And we, like Pasita denotes the orthogonal projection from the set onto the line, which make an angle theta with the horizontal axis. So then the fatherland is defined as the average of projection. So for some irregular set, the fatherland is zero. But before we state the result, we need some definitions. So first of all, is the S-dimensional host of matter. Suppose E is a subset in D-dimensional space, and the UI is the countable cover for E, and the size of UI are all smaller than delta. So the S-dimensional host of matter is defined as following. So first, we take the sum of the size of UI to the power of S, and then we take the lower limit when delta goes to zero. So then the host of dimension of E is defined to be the supreme of the number S, such that the S-dimensional host of matter of E is positive, or equivalently, it should be the infimum of all numbers, such that the S-dimensional host of matter of E is infinity. So if there exists an S such that the S-dimensional host of matter of E is infinite and not zero, then we call E is the HS set. And then we also need to know some regular property of a set. We all know the concept of Lipschitz map. And right now we're defining Lipschitz graph. So Lipschitz graph is a subset in two-dimensional space with the firm x times omega 1 plus fx times omega 2, where f is the Lipschitz map and omega 1 and omega 2 are two directions in S1. Okay, so if E, if for set E, it can almost be covered by a sequence of Lipschitz graphs. By almost, I mean up to a set of host of matter zero. If E can be almost be covered, then we call E is rectifiable. And then if for any Lipschitz map F, if the intersection E and the corresponding Lipschitz graph has host of matter zero, then we call E is purely unrectifiable. Okay, so with these definitions, we can state the famous Besicovitch projection theorem. It has two conclusions. The first one says, suppose E is a subset in two-dimensional space, E is H1, and E is purely unrectifiable. So then for almost every direction, the projection is zero. So consequently, the fatherland of this set E is also zero. The second conclusion tells us how to determine if a set is irregular. So it is that if E is a compact subset in two-dimensional space, and if we can find two distinct but not antipodal directions, C1 and C2, such that the projection of the set E onto these two directions both have matter zero, then we can say E is purely unrectifiable. That's the Besicovitch projection theorem. So now let's consider about the delta neighborhood of a set in two-dimensional space. So by some convergence theorem, we can see actually the limit of fatherland E delta when delta goes to zero is actually zero. So then it's natural to ask the question, how fast can this fatherland go to zero? First, in 1990s, Matula got the lower bound. He proved that if there is the probability matter mu supported on a set E, and this matter has to satisfy some first order Hodel condition, then there is the lower bound for this fatherland with the firm log 1 over delta to the power of negative 1. But for upper bound, it's still open. It is believed that the upper bound should also have the firm of log 1 over delta to the power of negative 1. Although this is still open, there do exist some results for certain kind of self-similar sets. For self-similar sets, I think the most simplest case is just the four-corner counter set. So mathematically, we denote four-corner counter set to be k-square, which is the product of k times k, where k is just the one-dimensional middle half counter set. So that means you have an interval, and you divide into four small intervals. And we only choose the first and the last one, and we label it by 0 and 3. Okay, so this is the definition for four-corner counter set. So if we only take the sum from 1 to n, then we get a 4 to the negative n neighborhood for the four-corner counter set. Okay, so let's then consider about the Fauverlands for this kind of set. This is an example for the four-corner counter set. This is example 2, level 3. And it's actually a 4 to the negative 3 neighborhood of k-square. Okay, so then what kind of property do we have for k-square? So we can calculate the Hausdorff dimension of k-square is 1. And so k square is the H1 set. And if we choose the two directions, one is horizontal, the other is vertical, then after projecting, we can have two counter sets. So both of them have measure 0. So then by Bethe-Kopsch projection theorem, we have the result that K2 is purely unrectifiable, and also the Fauverlands of K2 is 0. So as we mentioned that kn squared denotes the neighborhood, right? So right now we can consider about the quantitative bounds for the four-corner counter set. Since kn squared also satisfies the condition of Martillas, so then we have a lower bound for kn squared with the firm log 1 over delta to the power of negative 1. Since in this case our delta is just 4 to negative n, so the lower bound in this case has the firm some constant over n. So the upper bound for this kind of question is still open, but we do have some results. So the first quantitative upper bound is due to Paris and Solomonic, and I think it's in 1990s. They proved that the Fauverlands of kn squared is actually is bounded above by exponential function with exponents of the firm negative a times log star n, where log star n denotes the number, minimum of the number, such that log j y is smaller than 1, and log j y is actually the jth iterated logarithm. Although this result seems a little bit far away from conjecture, but the good point is this result actually holds for more general sets. It holds for all self-similar sets satisfying some recovery strong open set condition. And then in their paper, they also construct a random set. And they also prove the expectation of the Fauverlands of that set has an upper bound C over N. So it seems a little bit closer to the conjecture. And very recently, I think it's in 2008, Nazarov and Paris and Wahlberg got a really nice a nicer upper bound for four-corner counter set with the firm n to the epsilon minus 1 over 4, where epsilon is a small, really small positive constant. And then in 2009, Isabella and I, we got an upper bound of the firm n to the epsilon minus 1 over 6 for some more general sets. It's product counter sets with the direction having a positive projection. That means you have a direction after you project the set on it, and the projection has positive matter. And also in 2009, I think, And Bond and Warburg got an upper bound with the firm n to the epsilon minus 1 over 8 for Sierpinski gasket. And the last two results actually both follow the idea in the first one, but with more delicate analysis. Here is an example for more general product counter set. So instead of so for corner counter set, you divide the unit square into 16 small squares, but in this case it can divide into like k square k square small squares, and you choose k from it. But please pay attention, you should choose the small squares to be product set. So if you choose it like this, that is not a product set. So it should be a product set. This is the example for product counter set where k equals 6. So for this, we choose the size of A equals 3 and the size of B equals 2. And by Sierpinski gasket, actually it is a self-similar set we get from a triangle. This is an example for Sierpinski gasket in level 3. Okay, so right now I can give a rough idea of our proof. So because the symmetric of the projection, so we can only consider the direction between 0 and pi over 4. And if we let En squared denote the nth iteration of product counter set, and then we only need to estimate the integral of the projection of En squared from 0 to pi over 4. So then by some application of Frobenius theorem, we can have this actually equal to the integration from 0 to infinity of some direction set. And this direction set is actually is the direction where the projection is larger than some number s. So when s is finite, since we have a trivial upper bound for the direction set, so it's okay. So the first part is okay. But when s is large, then we need to have a good control. We need a nice control on the direction set. Since for this one, for this direction set, is the direction where the projection is large, and we want the projection to be small. So we call this direction set to be the bad direction. So our main purpose is actually to get a control for the size of bad direction. Okay, so actually it's not easy to estimate the size of the projection directly, but here is an idea. Let's take the four corner counter set as an example. So here is the four corner counter set. And if we choose the direction carefully, we choose the direction. Where the t equal to tangent theta equal to 1/2. And then actually, after projecting, we got the whole interval on the line. Even if you keep going further, you still have a whole interval. The only difference is tiled by smaller intervals. So this is a direction we don't like. We call it a bad direction. And if we take other directions, so we take directions other than 1/2. Then we can see we still have four small intervals. But the two in the middle, they kind of overlap each other. So this makes the projection to be small. So this is kind of direction we like. We call it good direction. So since this gives us an idea that if we want to estimate the size of projection, we actually can estimate the overlap for certain points on the projection line. Okay, so then we need to define a counting function. So large T denotes tendency that represents the direction. And then we can define nu n equal to the sum of a, b, of delta a plus tv, which where a, b is just the left bottom vertex of the small squares. So a plus tv actually just denotes the leftmost endpoints of the projection interval. Okay, so this sort of counting function. And then we let phi x denotes the characteristic function on the interval from 0 to 1. And we also need the squeezed version of it because we need this function for different level of the product counter set. So then if we take the convolution of mu n and phi n, then we got a counting function, which actually counts for the number of small intervals for a fixed point x, it counts the number of small intervals such that x belongs to that interval. Okay, so just now we had a description for a bad direction, which is the projection is large, and right now we have a second description for the bad direction. So we denote it by x lambda n. It's the set of directions such that the counting function, the integral of counting function is small. So if the counting function is small, that means overlap is less. It's not that much. So that means the projection is kind of big. So it's still a bad direction. So by some Fourier analysis argument, we can get an upper bound for this set. It's bounded by C times log lambda to some power times lambda to some power 2 times n to some power. All right, so then if we take gn equal to the maximum of f small n, and then we can define the overlap set. So overlap set is a set of points on the projection line where there exists a level such that for that level, there are a lot of intervals contain this fixed point x. And we use m lambda to denote the size of this overlap set. All right, so right now we have the third description for our bad direction. So this is a set of directions where the overlap set is small. So you can imagine, since the overlap is small, the projection is big. So this is the third description for that direction. And then we proved that for any direction in this set, actually the integral of the counting function is bounded by 2 lambda. So by proposition 1, we actually have an upper bound for the size of set Tn. And also by some combinatorial argument, if we have a set which doesn't belong to Tn, so that means it's a good direction. Actually, we can prove it's really good. It is a good direction because the projection in this case is smaller than constant times lambda to negative 1. You may notice we have r times n instead of big N. That's because if we only analyze the nth level, then we cannot get any interesting result. But if we keep going further, then we can have something which is useful to us. So that's why we have the big R here. And R has to be really large. It has to be larger than some constant times lambda squared times log lambda. And then actually by combine proposition 1, proposition 2, and proposition 3, and by changing variable, actually we can have the bad direction set we first got, which is the direction where the projection is large, is actually a subset of Tm, the whole set. So that means then we have a upper bound for this bad direction set, which has the form C times m to to the s to the power of p, to then to the power of negative 1 over 4 theta, where p is equal to 6 plus 4 theta plus epsilon prime is some number close to 6. So if we plug this in the original estimate, then we can have actually the forward line has the upper bound of m to the power of negative 1 over p. That's the result we got. And as I mentioned, then p can be specified during calculation and it's a number close to 6. And then actually I want to mention the tiling argument, which is kind of crucial to the estimate of the bad direction. But I can only mention a very rough idea. So first, we should know what is the definition of tiling of integer. So if A is a subset in integer, and if we can find another set C, such that every integer n can be written in a unique way as n equal to a plus c, with a belongs to a and c belongs to c, then we can call a to be a tile. And if c is kind of periodic, so it's equal to b plus some number m times the that times the integer set, and such that the size of A times the size of B equal to B, then we can call AB is a complementary pair and denote it by A plus B equal to ZM. And we let AX denote the polynomials of, as the sum of X to the power of A, where A belongs to A, belongs to a big A, and a similar definition for BX. So we can have actually AX times BX equal to 1 plus X blah blah plus 2 X to the power of M minus 1 module X to the power of M minus 1. Sorry, this minus 1 should be down here. Okay, so that's kind of saying that AX times BX actually equal to x to the power of m minus 1 divided by x minus 1 times another polynomial. Okay, so when we estimate the counting function, integral of the counting function, I don't know if you still remember, because the counting function is defined as the convolution of mu and characteristic function. So by some parseval inequality, Parseval equality. So at some steps we need this Fourier transform of mu n to m plus n is small, and this n to n and m plus n actually just represents the levels of the steps. Okay, so since mu is the sum of delta function, so then if you take the Fourier transform, then you have a sum of exponential functions. And then you can write this like am times e to the negative 2 pi iy, bm times to the e to the negative 2 pi iy, where am and bm are both, am and bm are two sets, like the first m levels of the product counter set. Okay, then we can apply the tiling idea. Not to apply the tiling of integer directly, but yeah, so I just want to get the sort of idea. So if we apply the tiling argument to that, so we can get some simplification for the right-hand side. So then we can analyze the set where mu hat is small explicitly. It's kind of it's a little bit easier, and then we can estimate this integral of the counting function. So that's just a tiling idea I want to mention, since we don't have time to go into detail, but it is crucial to our results. I would like to mention.
Two questions. Please.
Do you mean why we need have a direction such that projection? It's not required for lower bound. Lower bound is held for, as in Matilda's paper, if you can find a probability measure on the set E, and such that it satisfies the first order Hilbert condition, then you always have the lower bound. You don't need the direction such that it has positive projection. If that's possible, log in over. Oh, yeah. Oh, I don't know. We would like to try, but we haven't got any result yet. Yeah. Yeah. Here, they mentioned in the paper, actually they got the result of 1 over 6 in the paper 2, but they mentioned if you would like to do more delicate analysis, then you will get the power close to 1 over 4, but you cannot get any upper bound better than 1 over 4. So. Okay. Yeah, we can. Yeah.